welcome to another edition of the Security Ledger podcast. I'm your host, Paul Roberts, the editor-in-chief and publisher at the Security Ledger. Practice of cybersecurity has always been human-intensive. Tasks such as finding and fixing vulnerabilities in software applications, removing malicious software infections from networks, or spotting signs of suspicious and malicious behavior have always boiled down to having the right, highly skilled operator behind a terminal. But in an environment of chronic information security worker shortages, companies can't count on being able to find and hire and then keep the talent they need. That's one reason that recent years have seen a spike in investment in automated security detection and incident response tools that rely on machine learning to perform actions like manage hunting of threats and proactive detection. But as computers armed with machine learning and artificial intelligence technologies take on a greater role, what is the role of the human operator? And how can computers and machine learning work hand in glove with humans in a way that is effective? To talk about that, we invited Dario Forte, who is the founder and chief executive officer of DF Labs, a Milan, Italy-based firm, to come in and talk. His company makes what are known as dual-mode playbooks for incident response that allow both human-to-machine and machine-to-machine handoff of incidents for investigation and remediation. Dario talked to us about why automation has become such a prevalent trend in the incident response space and what he thinks is ultimately in store full automation of incident response within the very near future. I started off by asking Dario to talk about the difference between automated incident response and automatic incident response.
For us, automated incident response is getting some particular pieces of the incident response process that could be governed by NIST standard or ISO standard, depending from the type of approach that companies want to add, and automate that piece. In this particular case, that means that the tasks required by humans are reduced, and some of the tasks that usually should be the repetitive tasks, the routinary tasks, with low impact on the global security posture and business continuity of the company, could and should be automated. That should bring major positive results into the entire SOC and CISET process, but keeping the humans in the loop. This is automation, which is, from our standpoint, is different from automatic or being fully automated, which is the majority of the marketing messages that are being spread at the moment. So the message that many vendors are giving now is that everything can be fully automatic, and that means that humans can be replaced. We think that at the moment, in this particular historical period, this is not possible yet, basically for four reasons. First of all, because fully unattended automation, regardless the fact that it may or it could be based upon rules or Bayesian or machine learning, it is still a technology that needs some grade of maturity. Second is that probably there is still not the possibility to have complete out-of-the-box full automation, which is something that many are trying to sell at the moment. And CISOs and security operation people that we talk with are absolutely scared from these bold claims that we think that are not ready to be sold in an effective way. And last but not least, when you have full automatic process, that means that machines are basically replacing humans also in the and especially in some particularly highly regulated context, where in case of data breach, some court proceeding could be required, it will be difficult for CISOs to bring a technology platform into court to testify. So we suggest instead an alternative approach that we call the supervised active intelligence, where basically the majority of the the routing every task, and something that has probably low impact in case of mistake or error can be fully automated, but still the humans must be able to take decisions. In this way, probably this is the best path from our standpoint that customers could and should follow in order to reach a high level of maturity in the next 2 to 3 years.
So when we talk about automation in the context of incident response, I mean, what is well-suited to automation, at least as we talk today? What types of activities can be well-automated? And conversely, what kinds of activities or tasks are not particularly well-suited to automation, again, at least insofar as, you know, based on the machine learning and AI and capabilities that we have here in 2017?
Let's start from the type of tasks that can be probably automated without big impact. I will definitely include the incident triage in it. Incident triage is the part where basically analysts are required to collect information on the systems and or on the data and evidence sources that probably could have been involved in a particular incident. Before, the triage part was conducted manually. Now, with the help of orchestrator and automation platform, they can be automated. And also, with this, I also mean the possibility to enrich particular security events and then give the analysts all the information and the indication and the support to take the best decision for the next step, which usually is the response and, to particular type of incident. And the response usually in terms of remediations and or, let's say, drastic decision, for example, close particular the port on the firewall level, at network level, or kill some process, it is something that still requires human decision and validation, because in terms of change management, such remediation tasks are so difficult to automate because they imply so many decision points that probably the infrastructure are not that mature yet in order to achieve that full automation. So still there is the possibility to make some remediation in automatic fashion, but I would at the moment discourage customers to leave 100% the decision in the end of the machine. The interesting thing is that, as you mentioned, there is machine learning and some sort of light artificial intelligence that is quickly moving into this space, and we are applying a lot of our own research in this. We just announced a new version of the product based upon this. And basically, so ML and AI will be able to support humans to accelerate particular invasive decisions that so far weren't possible to be automated. So I believe that in the next 24 months, the path will be completed, and then we will definitely assist to a transformation where human, again, will be not replaced by machine, but will become superhuman with the help of the machines. Last but not least, there is still something that can be fully automated, and it is the reporting part. A report can and must be automatic, and the good news is that the technology is already able to do that.
So just outputting the findings of a particular investigation.
Yes, and that means that usually, as you know, in incident response, you have three layers of reporting. You have the technical one that usually is given at evidence level, where basically examiners and responders are asked to share everything they did in a particular case, and then also take note of every possible observable and artifact that have been used to penetrate a particular system. That is for several reasons. The second level is, managerial level. So security operations center and CISO manager, they want to know what actually happened and a series of metrics that should be followed in order to guarantee the effectiveness of their technical team. And then last but not least, the top of the food chain we have the C level that needs to testify and certify internally that everything has been done correctly. And this is a very important point. This is not GRC from my standpoint, but it's still incident response. And especially with new regulations upcoming all over the world, the GDPR, for example, this part of reporting is becoming very important.
So last summer we saw the Cyber Grand Challenge in Las Vegas, where you had different teams that had programmed, you know, machine learning, artificial intelligence to basically attack and also defend against each other. So it was the first kind of automated capture the flag ever. And really very interesting. I wonder, are we sort of inevitably heading towards a world, though, where many of the tasks, including the ones right now you say are best done by humans, will be performed by machines and more or less be invisible or transparent to the humans using the technology?
Yes, I think so. The CTF stuff is usually on the detection part. And that, I would say, is absolutely becoming mature, especially from an ML standpoint. There are a pretty good number of vendors that are in that space on the detection side, right, that are actually working very well without doing any name, but it's not difficult to figure it out. Now the next step will be doing the response and the orchestration, because one of the major issue that analysts and managers have at the moment is that basically there are so many tools that they need to orchestrate. The average in a C-cert or in a SOC is between 12 and 20 different tools that are usually adopted to take care of the entire process. So they need a central pane of glass able to support them to orchestrate a series of activities. So that will be the next step. And this is the field that we are trying to provide value to the customer.
Talk just a little bit about the handoff that happens in these playbooks that your product uses and so on between machine and human. How does that work? And is this an area where, you know, you're going to need standardization really to make sure that those types of handoffs happen in a predictable way? Because it sounds like something that might be open to a lot of interpretation.
We have two type of playbooks. One is called machine to humans, where basically humans are suggested and are instructed by the machine about what to do in case of particular incidents. So basically, this is a series of activities that the machine tells humans to perform in order to make sure, for example, that the company standard operating procedures are completely followed without any possible room for a human error. Again, we are in the human to machine interaction. So basically, this is the most common type of playbook. In terms of machine to machine, instead, we try to give the customer the possibility to write their own playbooks where machines are executing actions in different moments of the incident response process. Based upon a series of indicators that could be provided by rules within the rule engine of the platform and or by the ML engine. This is probably the most innovative part. So basically the ML engine supports the machine to provide potential solution automatically. And then at this stage, operators can still take the final decision, but the trend will be facilitate them in a more automatic fashion. The real difference here is that we call it dual mode. So those playbooks can be built by customer in a visual way, but there is still room for very sophisticated customers, and there are a lot of them all over the world that want to write their own script to be executed within the framework. So in this case, they can write their own scripts and have those scripts executed in a safe mode and then in a production mode directly into the platform. And then there is the possibility given by ML to reuse dynamically and automatically those playbooks without the human intervention. So it's a pretty advanced kind of way. We call it dual mode, consisting again in a gradual possibility given to operators to work in fully automatic mode or supervised mode. And we think that this is the best way to guarantee a smooth transition from the, you know, the semi-automatic world up to the full automated world.
How much of this is being driven by just technology and, you know, this is just a better, more efficient way to do it? And how much of it is being driven by market conditions, you know, specifically the difficulty of finding and hiring and retaining talented information security professionals?
If the question is related to why the marketing demand is growing.
Yeah, sort of. Is this sort of the best, you know, well, we're driving towards automation because that's just the best way to do this? Or is it we're really the gas in the car, we're driving towards automation because companies are just desperate, you know, can't find the humans really to fill these roles. And so we're turning to machine learning and automation as a way to compensate for the fact that there aren't enough people with this skill set to fill the market need.
My opinion is that there is definitely a skill shortage problem, so it's difficult to hire the right people because also of the hype of the, you know, compensation versus you know, recruiters and so on. So it's difficult to find the right analyst, but it's not the most challenging part. My opinion is that the most challenging part that is actually driving the adoption of such a technology is the talent retention in the company. Let me better explain. You can, for example, get some very good potential security analysts taken from the programmer world, okay, or from normal security world. So you train him or her, you spend a lot of money, and then in 6 months it is ready to go. If, of course, he or she has the right attitude. What happens is that then you employ him or her in a repetitive task and routinary tasks that are actually not stimulating from their mental standpoint. So sooner or later, if you don't stimulate their attitude and you don't involve them in the right path, they usually leave you because they are not interested in the company anymore, because they are just doing, pushing normal button and they are not doing anything stimulating. So This is why such platforms are growing as well, because they give the possibility to CISOs and manager to have analysts concentrated only on things that are actually important, and are instead they are automating the majority of the things that are probably easier and repetitive. That's why basically there is the possibility to optimize the cost in terms of salaries and people hiring, and at the same time retaining the talent without having them tired to do always the same thing. So I think that, yes, skill shortage is probably important, but talent retention at this particular point of time is probably one of the main benefits. The second benefit is definitely the reaction time. Again, before, even if you had a pretty good amount of solution able to automate the detection and some part of the investigation, the broader triage and response part used to be conducted manually, and that required the days of work that is actually negatively impacting on the reaction time. Now, with the help of the orchestrators and the automation, that can be reduced from day to hours, or minutes, depending from the level of sophistication, and that actually reduced the reaction time and then also the risk exposure, and of course also some compliance risk as well.
Okay. How far off do you think are we in years before this is fully automated, kind of end-to-end, and this is a function that, again, humans have been removed from the loop, and it's more or less just happening in the background?
Our analysis gives evidence, potential evidence, that full automation will take over in 36 months. And starting from that date, the market consolidation will accelerate, and the number of automation and orchestration vendor will reduce dramatically in favor of market consolidation.
Wow.
And that's why there is a growing number of investors that are knocking the door to the few vendors that are actually active in the field.
Yeah.
There is some newcomer, but at the same time, investors and customers understand that it's not just about marketing message, but it's also about substance. And that's why usually also from an investment standpoint, investors try to put their money not only in promising technology, but also in teams that have active incident response and security operation background in terms of activity and skills.
So full IR automation, you think within three years?
Yes, I think that this is an aggressive goal, but this is probably the most realistic forecast. There is a lot of hype and marketing on full automation now,
yeah.
But according also to the project that corporations and MSSP and investors are having at the moment, I think that the market will be reaching a good point of maturity no more than 36 months.
Wow. Very, very interesting. Is there anything, Dario, that you wanted me to ask you that I didn't ask you or that you wanted to say?
Well, I think that what customers are looking for is not only a technology provider, but also a group of people able to bring them by hand through a path. So they don't want to spend $500,000 for just getting the technology, but they want people able to support them in creating the process and supporting them throughout the transition. Make sense? So a good question will be, what's the difference between a pure technology provider in this space, and do you think that pure technology provider are actually going to make the difference, or are the customer asking for something else?
Great. Well, Dario Forte, thank you so much for coming in and talking to the Security Ledger about machine learning and incident response. And really appreciate hearing from you and DF Labs.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. We'll talk again, okay?